Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can we bring something back?
Sure.
July 18th, Joe Lacob at the Summer League on ESPN talking about pods.
He was a revelation, to be quite honest. I mean, he's one of the, all rookie team top five in the league. He started a whole bunch of games for us. Steve had troubles getting him off the floor. I mean, he had to have him on the floor. He was so good. He does so many things well. He's ultra confident. He's got an NBA body. He can get wherever he wants. He obviously can shoot threes. He can drive. He can pass. I mean, what can he do? We're really excited. We think we've got a future all-star.
Ooh. Whoop.
High praise. High praise.
Well,
that was, during a time where, and you always want to keep a player's value high in case you are looking to make a trade. And that was during the marketing season where, and Paul George, and, you know, you're looking to maybe make a big offseason splash. And so you want to keep a player's value high. I agree with everything he said, other than future all-star. That felt like a little bit of a stretch. And also, he can do everything, including shoot the three, because that's the one thing he can't do right now. I do look at his overall game, and I'm not as triggered as everyone else.
No,
I think that he contributes in many, many very valuable and great ways.
He does.
It's the one thing, and I watch him shoot, and it's a little bit of a cringe for me. The way he shoots, his form, it's part shot put, part chuck. It's not a very beautiful, fluid stroke, and now it's not going in.
But you're talking about the way he shoots the three, and I'd argue that we could have a conversation about the way he shoots the two also.
He shoots the one.
Yeah, I don't think he's a scorer. I don't think he's a scorer, at least not right now. And I'm not off on his future. I'm not saying that he's not going to be this, that, or the other. But my God, if what you're saying is he's the linchpin, like, we're not going to do a deal because Brandon Pajemski, get out of here. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and what, thank you.
You're welcome.
What really kind of grabs my attention from that comment?
Get out of here.
Thank you, Kurt. So Steve Kerr referenced it a couple weeks ago. Everyone's like, Brandon's pressing. Brandon is pressing. And Steve said to us a couple weeks ago, Grandy, it might have been the day that you were in for dibs and we were talking to Steve. And he said, look, I don't know if he's pressing or if he's trying to live up to Joe's comments. And then he just kind of rolled through a bunch of other things. And I was just thinking about that again. Now, 2 weeks later, I'm like, you know what? I bet Steve wasn't thrilled that Joe Lacob said that into a microphone after the kid's rookie year. We think he's a future all-star. Because now the kid is walking around either with that thought in his head or trying to prove it. He's trying to prove it correct. And once told us he wanted to be the future face of the Warriors. And so everyone, this is what happens. Oh, he's pressing. Maybe he's pressing. Maybe he's not as good as everyone thought he was going to be. How about that?
Yeah, possibly.
I mean,
it's just, I don't know. You look at what he does and what he does well. A lot of that doesn't show up on the box score. And last year, I think he was number one on the team in plus minus for the year, which tells me when he's on the court, the team does better than when he's off the court. Now, this year it's been a little bit different, partly because his scoring has dropped off. His shooting is really off, 25% from three, which is completely unacceptable. But the rebounding is still there. The passing is still solid. He'll take a charge. He'll defend. He's a good glue guy. My issue with this team, and this is why I said this a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, when I said that they were in real trouble, I do think that they have too many glue guys, too much glue, not enough paper. Like GP2, glue guy. Kevon Looney, glue guy. Pods is really much more of a glue guy. You know, Kyle Anderson,
glue guy. Yep.
So, and then you look at your scorers, Buddy Hield slumping. Andrew Wiggins needs to, and maybe once an hour, we go out of our way to at least spend 8 seconds on how great he's been, because he's been great. There's your 8 seconds on Andrew Wiggins. Man. I think he's having a fantastic year, but
it's not enough.
You've got too many glue guys and not enough real offensive scoring basketball players.
So it was back on December 4th, okay, that Steve Kerr came on our show and said this when we were talking about.
Yeah, I was off that day, yeah.
Brandon had a really good rookie year, came into his second year, and he's thinking, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And he's just lost a little focus on what actually wins. And, you know, for example, the fouling, the 2 3-point shooters, we can't do that. We've talked about this from day one of camp. Fouling jump shooters it leads to losses. It really does. I mean, you can see that stat in the league. You can feel it. Not just the free points. It's having to take the ball out of the net. It's getting to the bonus earlier. So, you know, I think Brandon's trying too hard. I mentioned that in the press conference too. He's trying so hard to make a great play every time. And you can't do that. You can't play that way. So maybe he's just trying to justify everything from last year or Joe's comments or whatever. I don't know, but it's all part of it. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I just want him to understand that we've got to speed up this process of growth as it relates to what wins games and what we need from him. And that's part of what's happening right now.
So there it is. I don't know if he's trying to justify what happened last year or Joe's comments. And this is just me kind of guessing. I bet that Steve Kerr's not thrilled that comment was made, because it was kind of unnecessary, to be honest with you.
It was a little excessive.
Yeah, it's not like, I don't know who gets helped by that.
Well, Brandon does. Brandon's confidence.
I don't. Or maybe not. Maybe he's running around trying to prove something that he doesn't need to prove.
And I think that at the time, and that was back in July, Summer League, at the time that maybe helps to elevate Brandon's trade value as they were shopping everyone. And I don't, you know, a lot of reports came in that he was maybe untouchable, or it was a sticking point in some deals. And, you know, you had Kuminga and you had Pods and you had Moody, and it seemed like Moody was going to get traded, and then he didn't, and he got extended. And so a lot of the stuff we hear is just conjecture, but this comes right from the owner, and he is super high on Pods. And yet, you know, this year it hasn't really been as great. I will point this out. He's 8 for 20 from three over the last five games, 40%. So that's actually, it's trending toward the right direction. And I know it's a small sample,
yeah,
but over the last five, shooting it a little bit better. And, you know, that just points out, though, how bad it was before. If you're just now up to 25% off of five really good shooting games, that tells me that you were down in the low 20s.
I would like to say this right now.
You're allowed to. You have a microphone, and your name appears first on the marquee.
I would like to say this. I would like for it not to come off a certain way.
Well, that you can't control.
No, I can't. But I can qualify it and give it a shot. Shoot my shot. It's all I got.
It's all you got.
Show's not over yet. I don't care what any owner thinks about a player.
You hear that, Joe?
I don't care. I don't like it. You said maybe that helps trade value. Is there any general manager in the league who's looking at a player going, I don't really love the guy, but the owner said he's a future all-star, so
we got to have him.
I'm in.
We got to get him.
What kind of moronic GM would that be?
Well, there are some out there.
Like, look at Jarrah Jones in Dallas. How we doing with the owner weighing in on all the players all the time?
Well, he does more than weigh in. He calls the shots.
So, again, I'm not saying Joe's doing anything wrong and he's the owner of the team, so he can say whatever the hell he wants. but as a fan, I don't care. He loved Wiseman. How we doing?
Yeah, poor guy.
I mean, poor guy, but also, like, not the number two pick in the draft. He's just not.
They were kind of stuck between a hard place and a rock in that draft.
I got that text from a buddy over the weekend also. Reference to a caller on Friday.
I'm working on a bit that has to do with that cliche and others. Hopefully it'll be ready this week.
You're working on a bit?
It's something I thought this morning. What are you,
a side project
funny.
Going on?
A little bit of comedy I'm working on, but a little bit of a riff.
I love the comedy. I know you do.
I'm going to set it up right later in the week. I don't want to burn it now, but I'm working on a little something.
I can't wait.
I'm workshopping it.
Okay.
But I'm with you as far as that goes. But
I don't want to hear owners assess players. Well, we think he's. I don't care what I. You're the owner, great, and I love that you're so active and supportive and willing to spend. You're a great owner, but I don't care what an owner thinks of the X's and O's. I don't care.
It's funny you say that because I'm contrasting that in my mind with Jed York. And if Jed York was coming out and saying, "Well, you know, player B or player C.
We think Trey Lance is a future star in this league."
People would like show up at his house with pitchforks and torches, but he has no chips. Joe Lacob has four. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain amount in my mind of, you know, not that he was picking all these players. A lot of these guys were here before he bought the team, but Joe does get a little bit more of a leash to me.
For sure.
Because you got the four titles, you built the palace. And so, yeah, if you want to say Pods is a future all-star, you're entitled to that opinion. I don't agree with you, but...
Right. I buy what you're saying, and yes, you can feel it, you can say it, but there should be no gravitas to it. There should be no, well, I buy it because Joe said it. Joe said Pods is a future all-star. So, he knows because he's on the inside. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's a businessman.
Well, if Jerry West, rest in peace, would have said it, now you can look at that and go, okay.
Now we're cooking with gas.
This dude played in the association. Right. He's the logo for crying out loud.
Right, right.
So I'm with you to that extent.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Steve Kerr was put off by that or kind of it irks him a little bit, I get it.
Maybe not in the moment, but maybe now, because it looks like Brandon, again, trying to prove something that he doesn't need to prove.
Perhaps. And I think that this is just, for me, garden variety sophomore slump, where now you're Pods, you show up on scouting reports, and if I'm scouting the Warriors and I'm thinking about stopping them defensively, I'm not worried too much about Pods beating me from three. That's my scouting report.
Yep.
And I look at the board and I put all 12 players in the rotation up there and I have a separate column of no need to guard, NNTG. The NNTG guys, there's about five
there's
of them.
There's a lot of us, half the team.
Right. So that for me becomes a bigger issue.
Except for they just acquired a need to guard guy.
Yep.
And I know the concept right now is we get, you know, there's more days off here for the Warriors. They play again on Thursday. And the thought is that Dennis Schroeder will be in that game and that means no more Pods. I don't know if that's what it actually means, but that's kind of what fans think right now. Mike Dunleavy addressed this to a certain degree earlier this morning, what the acquisition of Schroeder means for Brandon Pajamski.
I think this move for both him and Steph is something we view as additive and helps them. Brandon was really, really good last year, and I think part of it was having Steph and CP, two other handlers alongside him. And so I think this move enables Brandon and Steph to always be on the court with another handler, whether it's the two of them or Dennis and Brandon or Dennis and Steph. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, I think this is something that boosts and helps Brandon. So we feel good about it in that regard as well.
Okay. That's what Mike Dunleavy said about this situation. It boosts, it helps. It also means fewer minutes, right? I would think.
Well, what it means is fewer minutes for everybody because we're back to a 12 or 13 man rotation because you took an unplayable, physically damaged player and replaced him with an actual player.
Maybe we start cutting it down.
I don't know. I mean, they haven't really shown that. And now you go from D'Anthony Melton, DNP, due to a terrible knee injury, and you add in Dennis Schroeder, a guy who's going to command 25 minutes or so, and you realize only Steph is averaging more than 30 minutes a game. And Wiggins is at 29 and Draymond's at 29. So the whole thing right now is built on everybody's getting between 15 and 25 minutes.
I mean, they only played 10 last night. Yeah, Moody's still hurt.
Yeah.
Was Moody out?
He was in streets last night.
Moody was in streets, right? But they only played, I mean, I know some guys got in for Garbaggio time. You know, Pat Spencer got in for a minute. But essentially, 10 players played last night, and Pods only had 16 minutes, and that's before Schroeder showed up.
Yes, and that is the fewest minutes he's played since they took on the Spurs back in late November.
Yeah.
He had had 8 straight games of at least 23 minutes before that, so maybe that is the situation. And I heard Austin in San Jose call the earlier show and say, G League. He said,
for Pods?
Pods to the G League.
That's an interesting idea. I mean,
you would miss his glue guy stuff, but maybe he goes down there and works on his shot.
Like,
you know?
You can take, and sometimes it's like seen as a punishment. You can take dudes that have established themselves in the league and be like, you got something you need to work on, so go do it. The Giants did it with Camilo Duvall last year.
Good call.
Sent him to SAC.
Yep.
Now, they were trying to send a message also.
True.
They weren't big on his behavior. I don't think Pods is misbehaving, but there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that.
Only maybe, if you take it as
maybe
shame.
There's a little bit of shame in that.
Well, it depends on how you take it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got to, like, come on, man.
It helped Jordan Poole.
Yes. Yes. You got to, like, I don't know. If Steve Kerr is pounding on tables after games because Pods is, quote, not getting the message, well, if you're not getting the message, you got to keep upping the message. And that would represent that. Jack in the city wants to talk about trade ideas. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious a trade needs to be done. These young guys have shown over the last few years to not be much more than role players. And, you know, when Steph and Dre are gone, what do we have? A bunch of role players that aren't going to be anywhere close to competing for a championship? Why don't we give Steph and Dre another shot? They've proven that they're worthy of it. And, you know, if we're bad when they're gone, so be it. We'll have a high draft pick rather than being a middling team. But, you know, the problem is getting the right trade done where you can actually be a contender, I think, is the hardest part.
Well, no doubt. So, Jack, thanks. Like, just to reiterate my point, I don't know. I'm like you, Dibs. I don't know if the deal's out there. I get it. It looks complicated. Jimmy Butler and LeBron James do not woo me the way those names would have a couple of years ago. So I get the complexity of it, and I don't want to, like, bet the farm and get no payoff and all of that. My general point is this. Without knowing what's available, I would be very, very open to the Warriors aggressively helping this current team if the right deal presents itself, because I don't think 2 years from now you really have anything. And I say that, I know it sounds offensive to Kuminga and Pods and others, but that's not how I mean it. Anybody in the NBA has a few good players. Washington has a few good players. Detroit has a few good players. And 2 years from now, the Warriors would have a few good players. And they too can win 17 games. So you're starting over. Whether you've got a few good players or whether there are guys who will be on that team who we've never even heard of yet because they're still in college or high school, whatever, you're starting over. So I just don't think we're risking as much as you think we're risking with the idea of a mortgage for the now. That's all.
Yeah, I think that you're risking more than you think when you're talking about trading Jonathan Kuminga at 22 or, you know, Podzimski, Pekowski. He's a nice player. To me, that's less about, you know, giving up a big-time asset, but what you do have is a rotational player who makes almost nothing, and there's value in that. And Moses Moody is a guy whose contract kicks in next year, so there's value in him this year making just 5.8. I also look at this upcoming offseason where you're going to have Schroeder and Payton and Looney all come off the books,
yep,
and you're going to have a certain amount of room that you can work with in the free agent market. So it's not about make a trade by February or else forget it. You can ride this year out and try to do it this way with a 10-man, 11-man rotation and try again next year.
But hold up. Do you actually have that kind of room? Because what are you going to need to do with that money?
Potentially sign Kuminga.
There you go.
Or not.
So, like, you have to wrap that into the discussion. This isn't just as simple as, do you think Jonathan will be good in 2 years? This is also, like, how y'all feeling about $40 million? How y'all feeling about Jonathan taking all of the available cap space and more? even though we all damn well sit here and admit he doesn't fit. I know
right
he's,
now.
Yeah, but
I mean, he fits okay right now. I won't say he doesn't fit. Jordan Poole didn't fit more than Jonathan Kuminga
really?
Doesn't fit. Yes.
No, see, I don't see it that way.
Jordan Poole to me was too much. I need it. Dribble, dribble, dribble. I'm going to score. Kuminga, I think, is growing into a player who is better at playing in the system. Now, I don't think he'll ever be as good as Draymond and Steph. I mean, that's unfair.
I don't know if it's just about playing within the system as much as it is Draymond and Jonathan Kuminga essentially need to be deployed in the same spot to really be at the height of their powers. And therefore, it's preventative for both. So it's not even just about the his talent or his skill set as much as it is what maximizes Jonathan Kuminga. And the fact that that role is full here. And that's all. So that's what I mean when I say he doesn't fit. You know, like the now is Steph Curry. There's no way around that. That's this year and that's next year.
And Draymond Green.
Yeah. And so if Jonathan Kuminga, if there's a hard sort of wall that you need to penetrate for all those guys to function together at the height of their powers, well, then that means you're settling with this isn't going to go anywhere special for the remainder of Steph's career.
Well,
I think
you can make incremental moves to continue to get better. And in a 48-minute game where nobody's playing more than 30 other than Steph, so let's say that Draymond's playing about 30 and Kuminga's at about 26. Well, that's 56 minutes, which means there's only really 12 minutes of overlap. Can Draymond play 12 minutes at the five? Yeah, you can do that, and that's probably when you're at your best. So you can play Kuminga at the four with Draymond at the five in spots.
Limited minutes, though.
But that's honestly when you're at your best. And right now, Steve doesn't have a lot of faith in Trayce Jackson-Davis to play the five. He's not playing very often. Kevon is a matchup five, so Draymond's going to have to play five if you're going to be good at all this year.
Yeah, no, you have to, but you have to do it in spots. And so, I see these two things as working against one another. The Warriors are at their best when Draymond is at the five, but he can only play limited minutes there. And then in the very next sentence, we're like, we got to roll with Jonathan and see what he can do. It's information gathering time for Jonathan Kuminga. Well, not really, because the information you want comes at the expense of Draymond Green and his energy and his health and all of that. And so there just isn't enough time and space to make this all work together. I don't know, man. He's a good player. And he may have to stay because there may not be the right deal out there. But I am not losing sleep over losing Jonathan because in 2 years you're starting over anyway. That's the way I see it.